Sabbath greetings, saints. It is good to see you again. First of all, I'd just like to welcome the Fishwell guests as well as the members. We are living in a critical time, as we all know, we can see. It is manifested all about us, here and all around. You know, in spite of the crises that are ever inflating around the globe, we are to beware that there is much more of the same and beyond is yet to come. And the Lord has not left us in darkness in respect to what is coming, where we are. He forewarned us even when he was on earth. And the disciples, many of whom did not grasp the picture until after Jesus ascended to heaven, they did not grasp it. My message today is an abridgment of some missing links, but it is all linked together. 7.5 years ago, the Lord brought me here for a reason, and I recognized that more than one-fold. And he did it in such a way that it is memorable. I cannot forget it. He did it in a dream and a vision, of which we started then. Just give you a few things that we don't know just yet how soon we will be leaving. We have a twofold call back to Allegheny East Conference. And, of course, our children are clustered there where we are headed. And the ministry that were retired 20 years ago this month. But the ministry goes on. And it brings the greatest joy to my life to see souls coming to Christ. And this is where we are even now. I've never turned away from it. And I share this. We're told that testimonies are sacred. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, he says that we are to exhort one another. When the Lord brings blessings to us, it is not for us to harbor within ourselves. It is to spread it, to encourage others, and to accentuate that. One of the reasons Jesus says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, for in such doing is where we will grow more rapidly and more Christ-like. Now, the reason for this, another part of the reason for this as well, is God gives no one person, irregardless to his status or who he is, everything that we need to know. Moses, for instance, Moses was not given directly the script on how to organize the church. And we are told in Patriarchs and Prophets that Moses transcends in terms of his responsibility above the prophets. We are told this. Now, although prophets, each person are given their role, their specific functions, their roles, the so-called least person can be learned from. We can learn something because God spreads his word around, that there be no specific knowing it all autocrat even in the church. It is not to be. And because we share, and each of us, there is no carbon copies of anyone here on this earth. Everybody have their own individuality. Personalities can be adjusted or changed, but individuality, and science has revealed that even in our DNA, in our prints, there isn't a carbon copy. Therefore, Jesus told the disciples they can learn from a child, and unless we become as little children, we shall in no wise see understanding the kingdom of God. Pray with me. Holy Father, I am just an instrument. I'm made from the soil of the earth. As I stand behind Calvary, Lord, I don't want to be seen or heard. I want the Holy Spirit to be seen, to be heard, to obey. Just an instrument. And you called me here in such a renowned way, way back in the day when it was in a dream. And then you repeat it through someone else. I had no idea of what your primary missions you had for me. And I just want to continue to do that until you command me to close my arm, fold my arms. And I bring to my brethren, my sisters today, a word from the throne of God. It may not please some, nevertheless, Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sin. And so in humility I come today, and they will impact some perhaps indifferent ways of expectation. Nevertheless, I must be honest, and must be the word of God, we're told, and the message that it is not to be lowered, it is not to be altered. Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break nor alter anything that has gone out of my lips. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. So, Lord, here we are today. Speak to us, through us. And may the manifestation of it impact this church. And wherever we find ourselves, wherever we go, we are praying, O Lord, that it will register in our life. For this is my humble prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. This message, in part, relinked with Andre and I started the discipleship training 7.5 years ago, before I took any office in the church. And I did not take an office because I want to first see where the church is. And the second year, I did. And my purpose was to begin with the training as I was. The Lord led me back in the day. First came in the church. I may have mentioned this to some, but when I first came into this church, the Adventist Remnant Church, I was led and trained in how to win souls for Christ. First, after an 8-week of intense evangelism training, followed by discipleship training. There are 8 churches where the Lord has led me And the Lord has blessed. Our scripture talks about there are two classes in the church. Two classes in the church. Not all will align. And there are some who will. And so it was when each church was part of my ministry. The Lord planted a church with me. The first took a group out, having trained them and others, and taught them how to win souls. We have another special person here who said something to me several months ago. And this is by way of encouragement of all of us. Christine, I see you. You said something to me back there in the training class. I have listened when you first came. It indented my heart. And you said, I've been hearing preaching, 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 telling us what to do, but not how. Jesus taught us. He taught the church. He taught the disciples. Discipleship is, Paul says, the whole gospel. The whole gospel. Everything that Jesus says in Heaven's mission statement, Matthew 28. And Jesus crowned the statement in verse 18, Matthew 28. All power is given to me, heaven and in earth. And he gives us a command. Go ye therefore, and that is repeated, and carry the gospel to those who are in darkness. And part of the training is, and this is a try message today, part of the training is to teach people how we say we love one another. John 14, 15. Jesus says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Matthew 5:18 says, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all of it is obeyed, Jesus tells us. We are the jewels that Christ have chosen to carry on the gospel, Jesus says in his heavenly divine blueprint for the world. We are chosen to do that. And the devil is fearful of that. The devil is against, and we are told in the word, evangelism and throughout the spirit of prophecy in the Bible, that he resents and he's infuriated when one soul is brought to Christ. When one soul, so we have a solemn obligation. Every precious soul that Jesus brought into the church have a solemn obligation to take the gospel to the best of our ability. We are not all, do not all have the same gifts. But as we utilize them, God will magnify them. Every person who is brought into the church has a responsibility, given at least one gift, Matthew 25, at least one gift. And as they are utilized, God will bless not just the individual, but he will bless the church and magnify it. He will grow the church. And what I'm sharing with you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to share some things, as I said before, may disturb some. But Jesus says, woe, Matthew 23 chapter, read it when you get home, not now. When you get home, Jesus announces woes upon leaders as myself and wherever. If we neglect to carry, woe unto you, Pharisees Pharisees and scribes who stand in the forefront of God's people and fail to. And we know what happened. Jesus finally, after thousands of years, had to renounce them as his chosen people. And he brought about a new church. You and I are a part of that church. And he tells us in Revelation what the consequence would be after warning of what happened to Israel, rejected as a nation, not per person, but as a nation, to bear the gospel. And what he tells us is the same as he warned Israel. Israel, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would gather you under my wings of protection, as Psalms, and this is coming from Psalms 91 as well. And to warn you of what you do it before, because probation is closing, my brethren and sisters. Probation is closing, and that's why there's such a magnification of autocracy. And there's a collision, I don't know if we see it, between the Pope and the President. Both are claiming or demanding a global authority over everybody. One person rules all. I don't know if we see it or not, but if we study Great Controversy and other books, we will see it in them. And I want to encourage us to be aware. Jesus says, Matthew 24, he says, I warn, send you warnings in advance that when it comes, you will know. You will warn. Nothing happens suddenly without prior warning. Nothing. The Lord promises that. We may not see it. We may not grasp it. But it doesn't. There's always prior warning. God thinks so much of his children that we, and I've seen in this experience, a part of my testimony and encouraging. God has blessed me to and led me to work in at least 18 corporate evangelistic meetings where there are hundreds and thousands of people in attendance. In the church born right out of that, hundreds up to over 400 people. And was a participant in that under the Holy Spirit's leadership. And I'm trying to encourage us. There is much more to say. And we are going to bring it from the Word. We are told, Lord, please, you do it. And I'll just be stand behind you. As you bring the word to, we're told in Matthew 25, as was read in scripture, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Two classes has always been in the church. From the disciples, there was a devil among them, but Jesus gave him the same privilege. And the other disciples, they did not grasp what Jesus was teaching them 3.5 years. They did not get it. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. However, they did not receive the Holy Spirit immediately because there's a process. And what is the process? First, training. Jesus taught them. And they had been in the upper room, then baptized, and still had not gotten it. This is Acts 2, 1 to 4, and so on. 10, there's a process. And I'm going to share with you God's method, Christ's method alone that brings success with me first. The two-edged sword is how God uses me. As I surrender my life to God and his word, then God will use me and he will also edify and enrich the church. If I do not do that, here is something Jesus says to us. Jesus says, there are many people I will not bring in the church until the church is ready. This is what happened to the disciples between Acts 1 and 8 and Jesus' ascension. Disciples had not gotten the message yet. They loved the Lord, yes, and Jesus knew it. Jesus was long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, bare bore the fruit of the Spirit. He loved them, he blessed them, and he knew where they stood. He knew where they were, and he knew they were created of dust. And so Jesus was long-suffering. And once he ascended, stay in the upper room, go back to the upper room, and stay there until you hear from me. And when they went to the upper room, and they stayed there, and they were not idle. They were just not in and out and going and coming and whatnot. They were praying and fasting. And as they were fasting, suddenly And let me show you something that I just gave you a tidbit of a couple of years ago concerning brain function. And it's not just information. Oh, no. Create it. Ask you a question. Whom did God create first? Somebody help me. Pardon? Yes, Adam, but before Adam was created. Pardon? I hear, but not clearly. He created who? Lucifer? Not Lucifer. He created, well, as you mentioned, you're on the right path. But on earth, let's just say on earth. What did he create on earth first? Huh? Did you say trees? Yes, trees, and what else? Huh? Everything else, almost. How did he create it? Help me now. Come talk to me now. He spoke the word into existence. So, whom did he create last? Huh? The last created being. What's his name? Adam. How did he create Adam? Huh? Okay. Do you know why he created Adam differently than he created the other creatures? Adam was the only one who was created in the image of God. And he did what? He knelt and scooped the earth and he molded and fashioned. What is the message in there? The others were created by their speaking and they came into existence, but not man. It took time, it took patience, it took molding and fashioning. And I saw this when I was in college, a person very gifted with gifts, and he was a fashionist in terms of molding. And we saw him started from a baby, molding and fashioning. This goes back 40 some years ago. Molding from a baby, and you see the mold looks just like a baby, and graduated to a teenager. Then he graduated to a middle-aged person, and you could see the shape just coming together. And then finally he got into the fall of the year of creation. Fall meaning the age as we age. And I saw this take place. Whereas he got into the later years, the hair began to recede and little wrinkles began to form on the face. I never forgot that. It's indelibilized in my mind. And it shows me what God is saying and what I'm driving at now. Jesus exercised special emphasis in planting his image within us. And patient, and we are to do the same with souls. Nurture them. Exercise patience with them. Must understand human, bit by bit, human behavior. Human, all of this is a part of developing, and we are not to rush anyone into, Jesus says this, anyone into the church just because they have completed the Amazing Facts or any other. Why? There's a lot of excitement from the word, and I'm going to share some of it with you. There is excitement, and a person is learning, but now there is, the prophet tells us, says this, and by asking the question, have you ever heard of revival and reformation? She asked the question, and Jesus says, is continuing with Christ. It is justification is accepting Jesus Christ. Sanctification is walking with Christ day by day. That's the difference. Growing in Christ. We are never standing still in Christ. We are moving forward or we are moving backwards. We are moving forward or we are moving backwards. If we are not growing, we are backsliding. Isaiah again, 58:1. Cry aloud and spare not, and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob and sin. Otherwise, we are told that the blood of those who miss the kingdom is on the hands of the leaders of us. It is solemn. I know it's not comfortable, but it is a hard message. Nevertheless, Jesus says it must be told, and it must not be smoothed over. And there is much more. Notice further what Jesus says to the two classes of watchers. It says the wise and the foolish virgins. It says represent the two classes profess to be waiting for the Lord. They are, and this is Matthew 25, they are called virgins because they profess pure faith. They profess all pure faith, and we cannot separate them. That's God's business. But we are to use God's method. God gives everyone freedom of choice. Everyone freedom of choice, and he will not force anyone, and neither should we try to force anyone. It says, by the lamps is represented the word of God. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil. Go back to Revelation 3. I come to buy of me gold. That's oil, tried in the Holy Spirit. And we are told scripture that we can sin against God and be forgiven. We can sin against Christ and be forgiven, but not against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the last. Jesus says, I must go away. It is expedient that I go away, but I will send you a comforter, one who will be with you. Jesus cannot be with us personally because he has taken on humanity. But he redeemed us. He paid our debt and made us free and says, now, I told the disciples, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit, because they were not quite prepared. Back in Acts 2 and going forth, Acts 10, they were not prepared yet. And when they were prepared, they had come out of, when they were in the upper room the second time, then what happened? They were, even if we study it further, it says, after Jesus had left, they were bitterly sorrowful that they had disappointed him. 3.5 years in Matthew 28, Matthew 20, 13, the disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus says, to you it has been given, but to them they have not heard it yet. Parables are pictures, graphic pictures that illustrate, and that's why nature is book two. I am a country boy, and I grew up, lessons I learned, and when it comes to parable, it just comes so clear and simple. And this is what I teach individually. The Lord, through me teaching individually, makes the word living in there. You can't miss it, even if the person is not familiar with the word of God. They can understand pictures. Children read books from pictures, and they are lessons for us to learn, parables. And we are to comfort one another and help to see where others are and exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it says further that class, the class represented by the foolish virgins are not hypocrites, by no means. We are the other class is not, they are not hypocrites. It says they have regard for the truth. They have advocated the truth. They are attracted to those who believe the truth, but they have not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit's working. That's the problem. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they forgot about the world and they detached themselves from all of that they had learned prior. Even though they may have received from the parents gave what the best they knew. God have mercy on that. But God is purposefully leading us to that which we ought to know. And that which we must do, the way we must live in order to represent. And let me share another one with you in a shop. Meshach, The only way we can become disciples, and we cannot do it otherwise, the only way we can become true disciples is we have to be disciples. Because Jesus said, I am with you in heaven mission statement. Teach them to observe. We can't read the heart. We cannot read what's on their mind and what their intent will be. But we can see the fruitage of their connection with God. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit we must manifest. 9 of them. And Christ manifested them all, and so did disciples. And we must bear the fruit in order to be disciples. Otherwise, Christ promised in the mission statement, I am with you only if you do what I command you to do. If we want to grow in Christ, if we want to see the church, and I've seen it and experienced it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. God bless in the process. So he says further. Here is what Jesus says further regarding this. And this comes directly from Christ's Object Lesson. Christ's Object Lesson, page 406 to 413. It says the two classes of watchers, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, both. It says represent two classes that profess to, and probably this is from a different source, but this is repeating the same thing. Profess to be waiting for the Lord to come. They are called virgins because they professed a pure faith by the Lamb. They have the lamps in which is represented as the Word of God. That's the lamp. The oil, the Holy Spirit. In the parable, all 10 virgins, and the 10 isn't as significant as we may think. That is their 10 points to the Ten Commandments. Or points to the Ten Commandments. All 10 of them must be obeyed. If we violate one, we violate all of them, because it is a link of chain that is bound together. And verse 2 of the Ten Commandments, the second commandment, says if we violate one, our worship is vain. I'm repeating. Our worship is vain if we break one, but God is merciful. If we continue to break it, then we cannot receive forgiveness. But God is willing to forgive and start us anew, refresh us. And Romans chapter 6 tells us about that. When we surrender all to Christ, then we become a new creation, born again, and our sins will be cast as in the depth of the sea. If we obey all that God says. And how do we do it? Well, many people might have a list of, how can I do all of these things? That's not the issue. The list is, now, how many of us have children in here? All right. When that baby is born, does that baby ask for certain things, food, whatever? How do you know? How do you know that the baby have a need? Mothers, talk to me. They have a way of communicating. God have a way of communicating. They let it you, and you know, the mother in particular, and I can share something else with you about mothers, the most influential person on earth are mothers. The most influential, more than any king or whoever, queen or whoever, mothers. Why? And we're told this in the Word, because she shapes and molds that child's character before the child is born, and she's feeding that child, right? All the way through, before the child even breathed the first breath. And so she has the greatest influence, we are told. And so who was the first to take the gospel to the world? A woman. Mary, from the tomb. She took the disciples who were hiding out. Jesus is risen. And so everyone have a responsibility. And we need to be aware of that. So it says here further, so the oil symbolized the Holy Spirit, says in the parable, all the virgins, edit light here. It says, all the virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. All had lamps and vessels for Christ, looking forward to Christ. And it says, all have a knowledge of the scripture. All have the message and the time, in the time waiting that intervene. Faith is tried in the waiting period. We're not to become discouraged. We have, when things seem to delay, God is always on time. And delays is often given to develop long-suffering within us. Long-suffering. God is always timely. And I'm not the only one. And that's why another reason why I should become patient. God have the whole universe. And He considers all. It says, but as in the parables, so it is now, in the time of waiting that convenes. The waiting now, delaying now, and the increasing of chaos is taking place in the earth. God is allowing that, and there's a warning to us of what is coming. Chaos is going to happen. And here's what Jesus told us in the Word of God. Christian service, he tells us in evangelism. It tells us in many other places that God is going to develop a pure church. But it will happen at the very end, and God is doing it now. To share something with you about 144,000, we are told that we are to prepare you. God doesn't give us all the information about 144,000. But we are to be prepared for whatever God have in store for us. But he does tell us the 144,000 will be the closest to the throne of God. Why? Because they're called the first. Why? The first, the islands of the sea, and many who have never heard the name of God. I was told just the other day, a plane, some of you may have heard about it, saw it, or whatever. It says a plane came down right in somewhere in that region where people never heard the name of God, and they started shooting arrows at it. Someone told me this, they saw this. Why? God says there are people who have never heard the name of God. He is going to finish the work, but he doesn't tell us how. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation. Take the gospel to the world where we are, and the Lord will do the rest. And we must decide to do that according to our abilities. God has let us take our ministry to 4 cities. Take his ministry and our role to 4 cities. Hundreds of people meet people almost every time we go out. And they're growing. They're coming. We get calls. We get connections. Somebody, I saw this. I know this. I met you some time ago. And I'm trying to remember where I met the person just the other day. Stopped in a store. I met you and your wife some time ago. And we talked. I don't remember that. Because we keep running, keep going. So what I'm saying to us, beloved, Jesus says, awake, awake to the church. If we are sleeping, Jesus says, Matthew 25, they're slumbering and sleeping. What does that mean? Inattentive, unalert, not watching, Jesus told in Matthew, and we've been doing a chronology of the study of Matthew. Disciples asked Jesus from Jerusalem, overlooking Jerusalem. Jesus receded up on the mountain. Disciples followed him and marveled at these beautiful buildings. Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another that will be laid on down. And since then they asked Jesus, Matthew 24, when shall these things be? Jesus would not tell them. Why? Because the time had not come. They thought that Jesus would coming back in their day and they would have been discouraged. So he told them to study the signs. Matthew 24, the chronology of it. Luke 21, Mark 13, the chronology. Watch the step. And as we move forward to the second coming of Christ, they get closer and closer and more horrific. And we watch them and then we're getting closer. Closer. Have you noticed? Now, these are day-by-day signs. You're traveling highways, especially if you're on the superhighways, traveling distance. Have you noticed certain signs of certain cities you don't see? Until you get certain distance from those cities, through the preceding states, you'll see a sign. Let's say Jacksonville, Florida. You won't see that sign until you get into Georgia. And as you move closer to Florida, the sign quickens. These are signs to watch. They quicken. And the closer you get, the closer the signs come. And here's where we are today. Jesus says, my people are sleeping and slumbering, not alert, studying the word and watching the signs through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. This is what is required. What I'm sharing with you today, my folk, is we have an obligation to take the gospel that we be not a stumbling block for many who will not enter the kingdom of God because we neglect. Now, I want to read something else to us before we close. Something very, very important. And about, by the way, health, various diseases, that's part of my training as well and part of what I know, experience. Do you know, I say this only a testimony, not in me, but it's God. And what God has done, he talks about how long Enoch lived, how Methuselah, and all of the, many of the others, many of how long they lived and why they lived. Do you know I've never been sick? I injured my back when I was a teenager, and you might see me a little one-sided sometimes. Well, that's why, because as you're back, you injure back, you'll come back. But never been sick. Why? The moment the Lord showed me, many decades ago, about the health message, immediately made a change. Because God knows the way. When I was a child coming up, testimonies. When I was a child coming up, my favorite associates were not my peers. And this was the Lord's doing. I liked my famous associates were seniors who advanced me like mothers and grandfathers. And why? Because they advanced me and I could learn from them. My peers, you know, a lot of foolishness and whatnot. And I could see how the Lord had a purpose for me. I came to realize that later. I didn't know it then. It was in another church. It is a denomination, and I say a denomination. Christ is one true church. So when I'm sharing this with this folk, I don't know if this is my last sermon here or not, but I want to do whatever the Lord has shown me to do. I was up about 3 or before this morning talking with the Lord, and some things he unfolded to me that I had not thought of under normal circumstances to share with the church. And here, I've got to, before we close, I've got to share this with you. Oh, here, drop it, slipped off. You're in a hurry, right? All right, thank you. Notice this. Please, notice this. And I would be unhappy. We're told that bridging with my previous sermon, August. My last sermon on this, I'm bridging to the last sermon on this, August 30, 2025. I gave you part one, but here's part two of what this is because it is profound. Read it to you. It says, when Christ says in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 17, about it says, what is the flood that the dragon cast out of his mouth? This is according to Revelation 17:15. It says, water represents people, multitudes of people from other nations, heathen nations, and so on. It says, and he said unto me, it says, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people, what? Our peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Revelation 17:15, it says, let us now observe this subtle strategy topic, this strategy which will, which Satan will, how Satan will destroy the church from, will destroy the church, which will explain why inspiration says that the dragon cast water, that is corruption, of these nations, we see multitudes of people, and we say, oh, that's a sea of people. Symbolism. A sea of people after the woman, the church, Christ's church. It says, in vain were Satan's effort to destroy the church of Christ by violence. 1,260 years from somewhere between 50 to 100,000 Christians, 1,260 years were destroyed. It says a great controversy in disciples of Jesus yielded up their lives, but did not cease when the faithful standard bearers fell at their posts. Their faithfulness continued, and Christ is going to restore this faithfulness irregardless. And we are told if we do not carry the gospel to the world in peacetime, we will be compelled to do it in difficult times. We are told this clearly. Why? And it's coming that way now. Did you know that many people, many businesses are being sued now by the LGBT movement? And I have them. A list of them sued and take their business or put them out of business because what it is called? They call it hate speech. Any gospel or correction or showing them light and truth and the detriment, they are suing people and putting them out of business. They'll chase them, even if someone else intercede and give them the things they want. They're still suing people, and this will intensify. Read Genesis chapter 19, what God finally did with Sodom and Gomorrah. And so it is coming again, and we want to be mindful of that. It says, by defeat the disciples gained. So the demonic strategy that Satan used after persecution, the persecution, it says Satan having failed again to destroy the church from persecution, 1260 years, he employed another subtle strategy, and this happened between 1750 and 1798, somewhere along there, is when he altered his strategy of ceasing to persecute the people, because every time he would kill one, we're told that maybe 10 came out of his fold and joined Christ. So, and the prophet says the same thing in Great Controversy. And Satan therefore laid his plan of war more successfully against the government of God by planting his banner in the Christian church. He planted it during that era, Revelation 12, by spewing water to the woman, the church, spewing his corruption in the church. And as for that, what happened? You bring, ever since then, 1798-ish, and so on, the United States birth, 1796-98, what happened? You bring half, get this now, and this is for alertness and awareness for us to see what is going on, to follow Christ's method alone brings success. Christ's method alone brings success. Thank you for showing that just a little bit ago. Brought it here some time ago, and Sister Jeanette have the folder. And I had folders in the box back there for everyone, for every member, about 4 years ago, a folder to make it easy for every member to be able to learn how to give, and it explains it, everyone, how to connect with people. And it's easy to connect with people when we bear the fruit of Christ's Spirit. How they were joined to Christ, we can do it. But if we choose not to, then we are praying that we will make that adjustment. So the church, I'm taking a little time here, but it is vitally important that we do this. We are told that the persecution ceased, and it is... And in its stead, the subtle, dangerous allurement of temporal prosperity and worldly honor. Idolaters, please don't miss this, idolaters were led to receive a part of the Christian faith. And while they rejected the essential truths, Jesus tells us in Matthew 23, verse 23, the woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees. You pay tithe lament, and so on and on. Those things, okay. But the weightier matters of the law is mercy. It is, simply put, it is getting the gospel, pointing people to the kingdom. They neglected that, but they highlighted on the street corners or wherever about what they're doing for their own personal gratification. And it says, now the church was in fearful peril. It says, here the peril of the end, they were in prison, and that's facing us going forward. In prison, the fires, many will be destroyed, and the sword were blessings in comparison to what they faced and what the church is going to face, declaring that they could make no compromise. God's children are to make no compromise. It says others worked in favor of yielding or modifying some features of their faith and uniting with those who had accepted a part of Christianity. It's called half-baked Christians. With that urging that this might be the means of their conversion. It says that was the time of deep anguish to the faithful followers of Christ. Under the cloak of pretended Christianity, Satan was insinuating himself into the church to corrupt their faith and to turn their minds from the word of truth. Great Controversy, 41 and 42. Hope you're taking some notes at least. It says, and the question to ask, did you catch that? The devil, having failed to destroy the church by persecution, is working underhandedly through his agents from within the church to destroy it. Christ knew this would come about. How does he do it? Bringing unconsecrated people who love the church in the church, the two, wheat and the tares, another one, you know, as a gardener, myself. Been that way from back as far back as I was a child, could do it. When you put your plant in the field, guess what comes up first? The wheat and the tares. The wheat comes up first in the grass, and they will outgrow your plants. And they will smother your plants and absorb all the nutrition. These are parables. These are pictures Jesus gives. And that's why he says, the question is asked, Jesus, didn't we plant good seeds here? But what happened? Where did the wheat and the grass come from? And Jesus gives another parable about some fall on stony ground, some fall on the rocky grounds and by the waysides and so on and on. All of these are lessons for us to learn, parables, pictures, and so on. So it says another parable put it forth in to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed seed, and here is one. Sowed the seed in the field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. The devil is never sleeps. And we have to be alert and mindful. And I'm hastening on, but I don't want to leave you without this. It says, and the serpent that was cast out of the mouth, serpent cast out of the mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away. And that's the church, to destroy the church in the wilderness. In the wilderness, in this case, is not. The wilderness is a positive wilderness, and it is a negative wilderness. They were cast out without any comfort, without any refuge. They were cast during 1260 years. The other wilderness is when people lost all of their earthly possessions, and they had to sleep in the caves, in the dens, and so on of the mountain, escaping for their lives. But Rome continued to pursue them and slaughtered many of them. To be more specific, what do you think about the dragon's flood? It says some teach that it is persecution of the 18th century. No. It says that it cannot be, because that happened back in verse 13 in Revelation there, what we just referred to. It says because it was already fulfilled in verse 13. Where is the, in the Bible is persecution a symbol of water? It is not in the Bible. Persecution is not a symbol of water. People are corrupt people. And 1750, and this clearly states that water represents people. So then, what then? It says, are we saying that Satan, after realizing the persecution did not work as he to his advantage, he then decided to flood his people into the church, unconsecrated members into the church. It says the spirit of prophecy says that as the result of Satan's failing to destroy the church by force and violence, he finally met with his imps somewhere between 1750 and 1770 to 1898. Along there, he met with his and, hey, let's change the story. Let's force our way in the church by way of deception. Pretend, put on a different garb. Pretend that we are Christians. But they were unconverted and they were embraced by the church into and brought deception. And this is Satan's strategy. And this is how the tares have come so plentiful in the church. And why Jesus had not come, because we're told in early writings that Jesus would have come centuries ago for his people. But Jesus says, Father, my blood, four times, northeast, south, and west, four corners. And by the way, just a little final tip as we approach the end. We would do well if we could study how God designed the brain to function. Four quarters. Peter saw four corners on the sheet in Acts, four corners. We have four corners here, right in our cerebrum. The first part is priority, right here. Second part is harmonization. That's the same what disciples had to experience. As our organization is right here on the left side. And this side, fourth thinking styles, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And the harmonization is right here. And disciples, many got stuck right here. And many people get stuck on priority right here. Their relationship with God, and be stuck on the relationship with God here and confused there, we cannot be organized properly, as was with the disciples, until they were about some more time, they were about their own aspirations. Jesus had to correct them on that. And the visualization is now we are living in heaven, and I want to close with this. Marriage, part of marriage was designed. Get this. Part of marriage is design. The same counsel that is given in the marriage counselor as well. Been so for decades. But anyway, marriage, the counsel that is given, be not unequally yoked believers with unbelievers, is the same application that comes out of what Jesus gives us in the gospel. We must be married to Jesus. Here and now, if today you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Must be married to him. Now the celebration will take place when he comes. He's come to deliver us and he's going to celebrate us around the universe when he comes. But we must be married to him now. And if we married the wrong person, we have sealed the deal that I accept you if you're drinking, if you're carousing, or whatever you're doing. If we do that, and today, more and more people are doing that based on outward appearance or for other purposes. That is ungodly. And so we must be married to Christ today. And if we are not, Jesus says, if today you hear my voice, tomorrow is not promised. It is an assumption to say, well, I'll do it sometime later. No, that's not our time. We are always caught in between the past and the future. We are always trapped in between, and we cannot get to there until it comes. We can't do anything about yester hour, but we can't do anything about the hour ahead of us. It is now the time to change. Finally, in this, Jesus said, gives warning to us as leaders. He tells us the former, and I'm just not going to take time to read it, but it tells us, here's what it says. As the former, as the founders, those who possess the truth, true spirit of reform. Reform is growing in Christ. Revival precedes reform. That's like a reformation. And reformation and justification, they're parallel. Justification, the thief except Jesus. Watch, now, the thief except, or the right except Jesus. That was justification. And Jesus accepted him and cleansed him of all his sin. If he could have come down off the cross, he would have had to experience purification, sanctification, day by day living, walking with Christ. But since he could not come down, Jesus declared that he will be in the kingdom when he comes. And he wants that for all of us. And it is very, very vital that we give strict attention to this. But he says, now, here is what happens. It says, I saw a very large, finally large company professing the name of Christ, but God did not recognize, the church now, did not recognize, and God merciful on every one of us. Not any of us are perfect. Not one of us perfect, but we are on the journey. And we are to start wherever we are. And I'm no different than anyone else. It says, a very large company professing the name of Christ, but God did not recognize them, this is in the judgment, as his. He had no pleasure in them. Satan seemed to assume their religious character and was very willing. Get this now. He was very willing that the people should think they were Christians. It says he was even anxious that they should believe in Jesus, his crucifixion, his resurrection. Satan and his angels fully believe and they tremble. And they want us to believe the same deception. As he knows, if this faith does not provoke a good works, and lead those who profess it to imitate the self-denying life of Christ, Satan is undisturbed in the church. He is not concerned or resentful of us being in the church if we do not follow what Christ says, and he does not want one soul to be saved. And finally, he gives strong rebuke of leaders who will bring unsanctified people in the church who have not truly accepted, because persons have gone through amazing facts. But that doesn't necessarily mean a person is willing to do what God says. Christ says, observe. Observe their character first. We're not prodding or pushing, but we are encouraging people. We pray with them, we say, encourage them, pray for them as well, but not to push anyone or force anyone. So there is just much more. And on the health, most of the diseases people are suffering from needlessly. That's part of the gospel, the health message. And I have it, some of it right here in my hand, how to prevent various chronic diseases, to eliminate them, if we will do it. Pray with me, Holy Father. We are in serious times. You have long suffered with us. And you are still merciful, patient. And you're calling us, giving us the final call. Last day events, we are living under its shadow. And God wants to save every person. And the only way God can save many, if I neglect to share with you, then I am accountable. We are accountable. And the early slogan that was the church had from when the General Conference was organized in 1863, was home missionary. And by the way, the final one, please give me that clip. The final one, I want you to give notice to this. Now, this is one. Here is what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Straight is the gate that leads to life. Straight is the gate. That is strict, not the straight line, but no deviation. Strict. S-T-R-A-I-T. Straight is the gate that leads to life, and few there be to find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. This is the path of the world. And sadly, Satan is infusing this path into the church, is what we were just talking about. And we have to be. Few will find the path, the straight and the narrow path. This is one, and there is another. I don't know if you have the one with the movement of the church, if you had that at fingertip. There it is. Now, here, and this is final for today. Notice what happened here. 1863, General Conference, this is the movement of the church, after 1844 disappointment. This is what happened. When the great disappointment was experienced late evening of, I believe it was October 22nd, and they expected Jesus to come. And he didn't show up, so people began to get concerned. So what happened? The night closed in over the people. And nothing had happened. The next morning, many people became gravely disappointed. And many of them split off from the church. And they left. Few people remained from 1863, coming out of 1864, disappointment. They split off from the church. And when they split off, there were some, always some, will remain faithful. And the next morning, a couple of the brethren got up and just went prayerfully walking through the field. And the Lord calls their attention, and they looked up. And they saw Jesus was transferring from the holy to the most holy place for the judge to begin the judgment, 1844, to begin the judgment of those who were in the church. And now, it took 62 years for that group to develop 250,000 people in the church, to bring that many people into church, to those few people, 62 years to bring them in. And this is what making disciples is about. They taught those who came into the church by home missionary, visiting house to house, which I've done, we've done back in the day, house to house, and saw the church grow. The next 15 years, those people were taught, and they linked with those who out of the disappointment. And in the next 15 years, another 250,000. And then the next 10 years, they multiplied by making disciples of others, and another 250,000 were in 5 years. And then 5.5 years. Now, this, when did the Lord brought me into this church? It was right here, right in this area, and that's why I know this. Right in this area is when Lord brought me into this church, and I experienced the growth of the church. It was right here. And so the church is a movement. It must continue to move, grow. And as I said earlier, if it is not growing, it is backsliding. Father, we continue our prayer. We continue to look at you. We continue to follow you by your grace. And we pray for each precious soul here, those who are out there in darkness. We have that obligation. It's given to us. And Christ promised to be with us. He says, I am with you even to the end of the world, if you will do what I have commanded you. So, Lord, we thank you for your mercies, your tender compassion. We glorify and we honor you. Exalt your holy name. Be with us and be prepared to move on. But may we do so in the name of Jesus. And we pray his blessings upon each one here, and that we will embrace the love of Christ in our hearts unto our brethren, and glorify God in our heart and our actions. In his holy name we pray. Amen.